Okay, my name is Josh, lead pastor here. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, so click to or turn to John chapter 6. We're in a series we're calling the Jesus story. And you say, well, what is that story? Well, you've already experienced that this morning. Evie and Lily have showed you that Jesus died, but he didn't stay in the ground. He rose again. And as Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you too can die to your sins and be raised in newness of life. And I know what you're thinking. He can't save me. Yes, he can. There is no one beyond the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. As Mr. Bruner said earlier, not even a murderer is beyond the grace of Christ. Ask Saul. You might know him as the Apostle Paul, but ask him if murderers are beyond the love of Jesus. There is no one beyond this good news. That's why you're here today. You're here to participate in what God is doing. So we want to welcome all of our new guests. We especially want to welcome today any of the friends and family of those who are baptized. We feel like you are our honored guest. So thank you for being here. For those watching online, again, we're not gonna sell you a home warranty or extended used car warranty. We're just gonna welcome you by warm round of applause. So there we go. Before we jump into the Word of God, let's pray and ask God to open our hearts. And so I'm gonna pray for me. I'm gonna ask you to pray for you. Would you in a quiet moment pray this prayer? Lord, change me. Father, we want to hear from you today because you have the words of eternal life. Lord, would you change me? Lord, we don't want to leave here in the same condition that we arrived. Father, where there is darkness, where there is hardness, I pray that you would soften our hearts. That we would put down the mask, we would put down the facade, and that we would see ourselves as you see us. That we would not only hear your words, but that we would do them, that something would change in us from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, for those that do not yet believe, you have brought them to this place to hear the greatest message in the history of the world. That Christ Jesus died for sinners like them. That he will redeem them. That he will adopt them. That he will make them new. Lord, would you work again as only you can. We thank you for the promise that where two or more are gathered, you are here. Lord, your spirit is here this morning and we give you the glory and the honor. For all these things, we pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. In the 700 ADs, a man named Tariq ibn Siyad left Morocco and traveled to southern Spain. Now you say, well, I don't know Tariq. Well, you've probably heard the name. It's his name where we get the Rock of Gibraltar. That stone in southern Spain is named from him. You say, well, I don't know that. That's the Strait of Gibraltar. Tariq brought a group of Muslim invaders, 7,000 of them, in fact, to southern Spain. To his front were 100,000 Spanish soldiers. So if you're doing the math, that's a 14-to-1 ratio. For every soldier that they had, there were 14 on the other side. That night, the commander Tariq burned the boats. Burned the ships. That next day, this is what he speaks to his 7,000 now hopeless soldiers. He said this, "Oh, my warriors, where will you flee? Behind you is the sea, and before you the enemy. You have left now only the hope of your courage and your constancy." You say, well, why do you tell us that story? Because I believe that many of us are at a burn your boats moment. This is a get on the bus or get off the bus moment. And this is what we see going on in the book of John. Because Jesus has fed 5,000 men plus women and plus children. the best bread they've ever had in their life. This is like fresh, homemade bread from heaven. And they eat that and they're filled and they're satisfied. But the next day they wake up and they're hungry again. So they're seeking out Christ. And they find him again, and then Jesus gives them a hard word. Basically he says, I've burned the ships. I've burned the boats. Now what are you going to do? Are you going to turn back? Or are you going to follow me? As we think about the words I'm about to read in the book of John, look at your life. If all you had were Christ, would you go forward or would you retreat? And you say, well, I'm in church, Pastor. Of course, I'm for Jesus. That might not be so. It's easy for us to say, I am in Christ when things are comfortable. But when you look back and all you have is the sea and there's nowhere else to turn, will you leave Jesus or will you find him faithful? John chapter 6, verse 60. Jesus shows us this with these words. When many disciples heard this, meaning that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they said to Jesus. Now stop again. I know that you're thinking, well, these are pagans. They're about to leave Jesus. So listen to what the word of the Lord says. Therefore, many of his disciples, many of us would call ourselves that today, would we not? So here's a cautionary tale. When they heard this, they said to Jesus, this teaching is hard. It's a word that means difficult or even harsh. They say, Jesus, what you said is harsh. It's an affront to us. Who can accept it? Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, does this offend you? Then, what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some among you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning that those who did not believe and the one who would betray him. I'm always reminded that Judas Iscariot, you know, the betrayer, spent 3 years with Jesus Christ and still betrayed him. So before you raise your hand and say, I would never do that, may we search our hearts. Verse 65, Jesus said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. And from that moment, from that very moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. So Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? Simon Peter, the spokesperson for the 12, answered, Lord, whom would we go? We've burned the boats. We can't go back. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus replied to them, did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. What a harsh word. So Jesus has previously spoken in John 6. Jesus has told them he made bread, and then he said to them, not only do I make bread, but I am the bread of life. Now again, I don't know what that tastes like, but I am convinced it's really close to a hot Krispy Kreme donut. That's what manna from heaven tastes like. And there's no calories. There's no cheat days. You can eat as much as you want and you'll never grow large. He feeds your soul. And then now Jesus is saying, but not only do I give you bread, hey, Westerners, not only do I make your life better, but I am your life. And that's the moment that there was large scale defection. Everyone wants to have a better life. not everyone wants Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, this is how we can present the gospel. Do you want to go to hell? No. Okay. Do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Well, then you get heaven. But have we really weighed, do you want Jesus? Because here's what I know about heaven. If you don't really want Jesus, you're going to have a miserable time in heaven. Because He is the radiance of the glory of the Father. He is everything that we need. And so may we not just come to Jesus because He makes our life better. May we come to Him because He is life. He is the bread. He is the light of the world. And some of you today, maybe like these disciples, you're saying, well, this teaching is hard. Yes, that's my first point. This teaching, the gospel, is hard. The crowd was not struggling with comprehension. They knew what Jesus was saying, didn't they? They got the point. They're not saying, Jesus, we don't understand what you're saying. They were speaking back to Christ, and they were saying to the Messiah, we understand what you're saying. We just don't want to live that out. Have you ever had that moment before? Some people say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. I said, well, I'm still stuck on the love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. That's hard to live out. So when I get that figured out, I'm going to go to step three. But I'm still on step one and two. The gospel is hard. We are never told why these words are challenging. But we do know the words of Jesus will never be received unless they are received with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, it is impossible to receive God. Anytime you hear this phrase, who can accept it? This is characteristic of a person who does not have faith. And may we not think that just because we show up on a Sunday morning to a Christian gathering, that every single person in here has faith. Let me go one step further. Do not assume, because there is someone behind a pulpit with an open Bible, that I have faith. I will never be offended if you ask me to share the hope of Jesus that lives within me. I will say, you know what, Larry? Let me tell you why Jesus is mine. Thank you for giving me that chance. May we not take this for granted. Without faith, it is impossible to comprehend the will of God for our lives. And if you've ever struggled with what is God's will and what is not His will, we need to first ask ourselves, am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus knows His sheep, and the sheep hear His voice. So if you don't know the voice of Christ, that might mean that you don't have faith. But here's the joy of the good news. That can change today. You can give your life to Christ right where you sit. That is a personal decision. It's a prayer of authentic faith, of repentance of sin, that brings you to the cross to find that Jesus is everything that you need. And these men and women who find the message hard say this. They say, Jesus, this is hard. Who can accept it? Some of your versions have, who can hear it? Who can hear this. Every time you hear the word hear, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Bible never uses the word hearing without some connection to obeying. So what does it mean to hear God? It means to obey Him. So they're not saying who can hear this, they're saying who can obey this. The gospel can be difficult. And if you are honest right now with your life, what parts of the good news do you find difficult obeying? We all have those. Maybe for you, you know that you're forgiven with the same measure that you forgive others, and there are people that have hurt you, maybe abused you in your life. And you cannot forgive them. With Jesus, you can. And that doesn't mean that that relationship will ever be restored. Sometimes the healthiest thing that you can do is build barriers. Well, that will never happen again. That sin will never creep in. But maybe for you today, the hardness of the gospel is that God is asking you to forgive. And you say, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. They don't. But you can give it anyway. Maybe for you, you're not fully committed to the gospel like you should be. You're not bold in sharing your faith, and you struggle with that. You say, well, you know what? Someone else is going to do it. And Jesus is showing you this morning, but you're their coworker. You're their neighbor. You're their missionary. Maybe for you, the hardness of the gospel is that God is asking you to show the world that you are His and that He is yours. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you've never come forward and made a public declaration of your faith. And you say, well, I'm already saved. No one needs to know about it. And yet Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Heavenly Father. And right now the Holy Spirit is shooting arrows at your heart saying, don't wait. Don't wait. Come to me. Be proud of the faith that you have. The gospel is difficult. That's why in 1 Corinthians, Paul, remember the murderer? The killer of Christians who found that Christ was who he says he was? He said this about the gospel. He said, we preach Christ crucified. He didn't say rainbows and unicorns. We preach Christ crucified in 1 Corinthians 1:23, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. You see, Christ Himself is the stumbling block, but we are reminded, listen, you cannot make the gospel palatable for a world that is living in darkness and sin. This is not come to Jesus because He really needs you, and if you don't come to Christ, heaven's not going to be the same without you. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that He is sovereign and He is holy whether you believe or not. But God loved you so much that He sent His Son from heaven to earth to die for sins that He didn't commit, my sins and your sins. And He died to pay the penalty of what we deserve. In a world that is longing for fairness, the gospel is not fair because we deserve hell. And Jesus says, but you don't have to go there. If you believe, you believe in your heart through righteousness, and you confess with your mouth unto salvation. Jesus is the stumbling block. And if you have never wrestled with the hard points of the gospel, I pray that you would wrestle today. That you would do business with the Holy Spirit. And this leads us into what Jesus now says. For you that says, well, I don't like what you're saying. Good. Because Jesus says in verse 61, He says, Josh, what are you complaining about, brah? He didn't say it like that, but that's in my mind, that's how He says it. Because Jesus knows our hearts, doesn't He not? So why do we play this charade where we hide who we truly are from God? Because He already knows who we are. So Jesus says to them, why are you complaining? Does this offend you? This is the parent asking, who messed your room up? And they say, well, it wasn't me, it was my brother. So your brother went into your room, which he never wants to go into, and he messed your room up on purpose. Mm-hmm. That's the story. And how often do we play these spiritual games with God, don't we? We want to put on a good face, and we say, but Lord, they made me do it. If they would not have cut in front of me on 280, then I would not have said those words. And you know those words were true because they were not driving according to the rules, which they signed that they would when they passed their driver certification course. Lord, I was reminding them, I was holding them accountable. And yet the Holy Spirit says, but that's not what my people act like. And that's not how my people speak. And that's not the heart of my people. We said, but God, this is hard. And the hard words create difficult decisions. So Jesus asked, does this offend you? He knows, by the way. Some of you right now are offended by the gospel. You're offended that to come to Christ, you have to lay down your arms. To come to Christ, you have to give up control. The Christian has no right to say to God, God, it's my way now. I hear it all the time in our culture. Well, I'm a Christian. Oh, you are? Well, do you serve Christ? No. Do you gather with the saints? No. Do you do anything that God asks you to do? Well, I don't. So you're a Christian, but you're not living by Christ. You're living by Josh. Yeah, that's right. And we struggle with intellectual honesty. We have no right to live by our standards and our norms if we have given our lives to Jesus Christ. And he says, does this offend you? And he says, well, if this offends you, church, if the whole bread of life thing offends you, you haven't seen anything yet. Verse 62. He said, then what if you observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Then what? Now, here's what we need to realize, right? So some of you are thinking, well, he ascended into heaven, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God. That is correct. But to ascend into heaven, Jesus had to ascend on the cross. He had to willingly, blatantly suffer and subject himself to humiliation. And Jesus is telling his disciples, if I am humiliated for the sake of those that are far from me, you will also be. And if you say, well, not me, Lord, then Jesus is saying, if that offends you, you haven't seen anything yet. We should be known as people of surrender. If they know nothing else about Christians, they should say they surrender their lives for others. They were cursed and they blessed. They were pushed and they didn't push back. We asked them to carry this for a mile. You know what they did? Those crazy people, they carried it 2 miles. What's with them? And we can say, we can't explain this. Other than saying our Lord and Savior humbled himself to the point of death. He did not come to be served, but he came to serve. And I want to do the same. This is an unbelievable story. Because in the gospel, God is telling the world that his folly is greater than the world's strength. That even in death, the Messiah has more life than the world has ever seen. Even in humiliation, Jesus overcomes. This is an unbelievable story, and for many, this causes difficulty, and maybe that's your hang-up. Maybe you say, I cannot believe that God sent his Son to become flesh, to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to suffer under Pontius Pilate, to die on the cross. How can God die? And then he rose again in 3 days. How did dead people rise again? And now he ascended to the Father. And because he did all that, if I believe, I will have life eternal. Here's my philosophical response to you. Yes. That's what we believe. And we must understand that this is unbelievable. Except by faith. And when you struggle with people who don't believe, you just need to understand they don't have faith yet, but I believe God is wooing them and he is drawing them, and they could. The unbelievable story of Christ is difficult. It is hard, but there's other difficulties. There's also the difficulty of perspective. You see, we live with a fleshly, a worldly perspective. We live with the perspective that it says, Jesus, you gave me bread, and so give me again, and give me again, and give me again. And Jesus says, that's not what I'm about. Christianity is not about give me, give me, give me, give me. It is about, Lord, what can I now give to you? God, how can I now submit my life to you? And we struggle because the gospel is difficult because there are worldly perspectives at play. And don't think, if you have given your life to Christ, that you have graduated from that perspective. There are deep roots of your sinful nature, and the Holy Spirit is slowly plucking them out. It's going to take a long time for me, but he is still working on us. Your perspective makes this difficult, but there's another difficult thoughts to the hard words of Christ. And it's this, that some in our midst today, some in the midst in Christ's teaching, were not of the Lord. Very simply this, if your life has never changed after you gave your life to Christ, you have not given your life to Christ. So how do you know that? Okay, this is what I know about Jesus. He goes to the tomb of Lazarus and he says, "Hey, Lazarus," the guy's dead. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And you know what happens? Lazarus walked out. Jesus has the power to go into dark places of your life and tell the things that were dead to live again. And I don't know about you, but when someone dies and is raised to new life, that's change. And if your life has never changed, you need to ask yourself right now, do I really believe? Maybe you're teaching Sunday school. Maybe you've been a faithful tither for 95 years. That does not make you a Christ follower. Only the Spirit of God renewing your heart and renewing your mind can change you. And this is difficult. And the gospel, though, makes us face difficult decisions. Look here in verse 64. Jesus says, "The Spirit is the one who gives life." In verse 66, from that moment, many turn back. Many turn back. I believe that's going on in this place right now. I believe for those who are listening online, for those that will listen later in the week, I believe that some of you are wrestling. And you know deep down, if things get really difficult, you're going to run. You can, but you don't have to. God doesn't want you to. He wants to change your life. But I'm going to say this to you today. We don't believe in easy believism. And I am not going to sugarcoat your life and let you leave here walking the road to hell and be okay with it. Jesus is worth it. And God wants you to make a difficult decision. Are you going to, by faith, follow Him? Or are you going to say, "I want it my way"? F.F. Bruce said this about the disciples who left. He said, "What they wanted, He would not give. And what Jesus offered, they would not receive." But here's the good news. Jesus is not okay with you being just okay. I'm so thankful for a Messiah that He's not okay with us playing the game. He's not okay with us looking moral, because there is no one good except God. Jesus wants to change your life. So listen to the words in verse 68. The gospel is hard. Hard words lead to difficult decisions. But also hard words create convictional moments. It's verse 67 first. Jesus says to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Now, before you think Jesus is having a pity party, He's not. In the Greek construction, anytime this question is asked with this tense, with this participle, it's begging a negative response. So Jesus already knows the answer. He's not sulking and saying, "Oh, you too? I'm by myself again." He's Jesus. He can be by Himself and change the world. But He's creating a convictional moment. And so Peter says this. Peter says, "Lord, we burned the ships. We burned the boats. Where would we go?" Lord, listen to Peter's words. This is following in the same passage where Jesus gives the first "I am" statement. "I am the bread of life." And Peter gets it. When you understand that Jesus is the great "I am," and when you submit your life to Him, you no longer live an "I" life, but you live a "you" life. Peter says, "God, we've burned the boats." And then he says this. He says, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe, and we know that who? You are the Holy One of God. Peter has a convictional moment where he goes from me, 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 to Jesus is about you. What is the Christian life like in essence? It is a you first life. It is Lily saying, I've died to myself and I am raised to new life in baptism. She is identifying herself with Jesus. She is saying it's not about me, but it is about you, Lord. You see, the gospel creates convictional moments. And if you have ever proclaimed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you've done this. You said, Lord, where will we go? If I lose everything else, I have you. And if I have you, that's enough. If I have you, that is enough. As you look at your life today, if your life has been more self-centered than Savior-centered, will you ask yourself, are you really a follower? So I'm at church. Of course I'm. There were disciples in the midst of Jesus that turned and walked away, which means they went back to the things that they had forsaken because they weren't ready to truly follow Jesus. If that does not describe the Western church, I don't know what does. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of us saying, you know what, let's just gather, let's sing, let's give, let's do a little good, and let's go home. May we be people who say today, Lord, I'm going to burn the boats. And if I have to charge hell, I will do it for you. Because you have told us not even the gates of hell will prevail. So as we think about the gospel impact, how would you answer this question? Right here, offered by Jesus in verse 67. You don't want to go away too, do you? But what about you? Jesus is saying, they left. You can go. Here's your out. May we be people who say, Lord, where would we go? They throw us in jail. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Lord, if I had to give it all away, if you're calling my children to the mission field, Lord, if I had to let go of the dreams that I've had for them. Lord, you know I can't walk in front of people and tell them I'm a Christ follower. Lord, there's no way I could go to the altar and pray. People are going to think that they're going to think horrible things about me. May we be people that say, Lord, if the whole world leaves you, I'm going to burn the boats. I have nothing else but you. I have nothing else but you. Dear friends, the only way not to lose heart is to fully commit every day to Jesus Christ. There's a gospel question we ask a lot around here. What is our only hope in life or in death? And the answer is this: we are not our own. That we belong to Jesus, body and soul. You don't want to leave Him too, do you? But would you commit your life again to Christ? Maybe today this is your get real moment. Maybe again today you need to say, Lord, if I lose everything, I have you. So Lord, I'm going to sing like never before. I'm going to come and I'm going to pray, Lord. I'm going to recommit. I'm going to burn the boats because I don't have anything but you. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. And you say, I cannot believe this story. I would say you can't believe it but by faith. And that's where God comes in. Will you have the faith to believe the unbelievable? Will you say yes to Jesus Christ? You say, well, how do I do that, Pastor? You pray. Prayer is simply a communication with God. You can pray a prayer like this in your heart. Jesus, I know I failed you, but I know you won't fail me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I believe you did it to forgive me. So Lord, I follow you in repentance. Do you know the Bible says this? It says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. What's the rest of that verse? Will shall be saved. God doesn't say you might be. He doesn't say you could be. He says you will be. If you've never given your life, would you come to faith? Would you come here? Would you fill out a connect card? Would you by faith say yes to Christ? If you are in Christ, would you get real with Him this morning? And say, Lord, I will burn the boats because you are worth it. May we have the heart of Peter that says, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And Lord, we know that you are the Holy One. Let's pray. Father,